Champion Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon and welcome edition of Nail It on Guardian 96.9 AM. I'm your host, Leonard Sands, along with...
I am Deborah Deal.
And we are this afternoon because we're going to get into discussions about something that is very topical right now around the world and especially in the Caribbean, talking about hurricane and how to hurricane-proof your building or home. Now, I know a lot of persons think that when contractors or builders say you could hurricane-proof your home, what are you really talking about? Now, certainly, if you want to go all the way to the extreme end, Debbie, you could say, okay, I'm going to make myself a concrete bunker. If I make myself a concrete bunker, it's going to be hurricane-proof. You would need maximum sustained winds probably over power to begin to make any kind of meaningful dent into a reinforced 8-inch thick to 10-inch thick wall, concrete, sir, with metal gauge, steel roof, and three levels of tie down on every single down, triple layers, and then membrane roof and peel and stick on top of that with then a design and doesn't give anything to be pulled away. I mean, you could really do it if you really wanted to, but that's not going to be within anyone's budget. So let's talk about, you have a typical home in the center of town, you have a nice three-bed, two-bath home. And we let's take this from this approach, Debbie. We're going to talk about your home is not designed for hurricanes. And let's talk about some of the things you could do to help make your home more hurricane-ready.
So we'll talk about retrofitting that.
Yes, that's what we're let's start from your weakest area of penetration of your home is your windows. So correct. This house was built in 1982, and you have awning windows. What do you suggest, Debbie? You came there. You had to do an assessment. What are you recommending to this customer?
Well, I would get impact windows and doors, and I would also have them insulated to also pull in. Yep. Right? That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of casement windows because I'm a fan of leaving my windows open when I go out, and mm-hmm. I don't want rain to get in.
Windows, what happens?
Well, water gets in when you get the window, so I don't do those at all.
But Debbie, let's take mm-hmm. a minute. You see, I don't think people understand the difference of window types.
Right.
We glaze over it, you know. You go and you meet an architect and they tell you, okay, what kind of windows you like? Oh, I like those nice ones I see. What persons don't do it? So, like Debbie's suggesting, if you have a casement window, the casement windows really are like doors.
Yeah, they open up out. Like doors.
And they look fat. If it rains, that door-like window is open. Correct. The inside your room at that section probably going to be wet window. Mm-hmm. It flips up.
And you'd get no water.
No water's going to get
that's
in.
That's why so many homes
had awning windows.
Right. And I actually
very
just,
cool.
I use windows at a time because that's all I can afford
it's costly,
to do.
Yeah.
So I just replaced my dining room windows and I had large awning windows mm-hmm. put in. So each window by 72. Mm-hmm. So it's 8 panels and each one of them are awning so that I can still open up the top or whatever
exactly.
I want to do. And they look beautiful.
And they look beautiful.
And I know that I don't have to worry about anything happening through that window.
Exactly. And
yes.
One of the things that I think is important to note for consumers who wanted to keep the traditional look of the homes. And like you said, it was quite fashionable 30 years ago to have awning-type windows. Right. You can get impact-resistant.
That was before air-conditioned, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you could get impact-resistant in awning. Home manufacturer, locally made awning, hurricane impact windows.
Right. Storm Frame, which is where I got mine from. They are, by the way, a member of ours.
They make glass and windows.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They do produce awning-type impact-resistant windows. So you don't have to go far to find solutions that match what you had.
If, you know, when there's a hurricane and afterwards, you want to be able to have your windows open,
right?
Yeah,
you want to see.
Right. So, you want to be able to open. And so with an awning window, I can have the windows open, even though it's outside, I can get breeze blowing through my house, and I don't have to worry about keeping everything all closed up. Yeah. You know, there's also like single hung windows.
Which I have in my home. I like single hung sash windows. I love them.
But you can't leave it open when you're out. Because
someone will come in.
And climb in. Yes. Yes.
You don't want to leave those up either. Someone will come in.
People really do need to understand the value, though, not the pretty of it. Because pretty isn't going to save you.
No. But Debbie, to that point, this is where we often talk about off air. Where does a homeowner go to learn about different types of windows? It's not something you teach, you know. It takes an inquiring mind to ask, okay, I'm concerned. I'm looking at doing some changes to my windows. Talk to me about this type, the other type, and what are the benefits? And we want to encourage consumers to be probing questions. What
they
do you want your windows to do?
And, of course, what will happen, and you have to be watch out for this too, is if you ask a person, they're obviously going to sell you what they have, not necessarily what would be best for you. So you really need to, if you have to, there's always YouTube, there's you know, your best friend Google.
Do some research on the supply.
Oh, definitely.
Because if you go looking for a car, you're generally going to walk away with one.
Right. But think about your situation and what is it that you're really looking for in a window besides just making sure that you're safe during a hurricane, right?
So that's the first barrier. So now we get the walls. You're pretty certain that your walls are, you know, concrete block. They're installed pretty good. The stucco's good. No challenges there. So now you're going to talk about replacing the windows. That's a big area of opportunity to change from non-impact resistant to now insulated, right?
To help with your air conditioning system.
Of course. And then because what persons don't think about as well is that for your costing, if you could keep more of the hot air out and the cool air in, it saves you money on your air conditioning bill.
Correct. And your air conditioning doesn't have to work as
hard to cool the space.
The next thing I do, and it's not really for hurricanes, but it's actually, again, for the energy efficiency of your home and sound, I use isolating.
Isolating and insulating.
Because the insulation, what it does is it keeps your attic, a normal attic is like 140 degrees. But when you insulate it, it ends up being like 85, 87 degrees, which means when you I also recommend people put in attic stairs because it's ridiculous to have to stand on a ladder and climb through that little stinking hole. But I always suggest that they do the isonine, and that way your air handler is not working against 140 degrees to get
it cooled. No, it's in that cool space already.
Come down.
Yeah.
The next thing is you also don't have your mold and mildew, because the reason people get a lot of mold and mildew is if your attic is 140 degrees and your air conditioner is 75, that's a 70 degree difference, right?
Yeah.
70 degree difference.
Condensation.
Think about this, 32 degrees, which is freezing, and 70 added onto this, 90 degrees. So think of the difference, right? Goes on your ceiling. The underside of your ceiling. It doesn't have time to dry. Mold and mildew sets in, and then people get sick.
Yep. So these are just some of the things that you may not have been aware of, but they happen in your home, and we're just trying to bring some of this information across to the public. Now, let's continue in this, making this house hurricane safe.
Let's do roof.
Let's look at the roof.
Yes.
Now, I know that, and this is something big, 30 years ago, what we used to do at roofs, too, we saw a lot of us used to paint the roofs. Why did we used to paint the roofs?
Well, I didn't know they did it then. But
a lot of the houses were painted all the way east and all the way west.
Well, one thing it does do is it keeps your shingles on.
It keeps
because
your
they're not
going
to blow off.
Nope.
And then if you use an elastomeric paint, you cool your roof as well.
That's
I always say, well, you know, I really need to reshingle my roof. And
but I
go,
can't
well,
afford
you really
to.
Don't, yeah. you know. Yeah. But if you want your roof to last another 10 or 15 years,
Elastomeric
coating
paint proof.
Would be an awesome thing to do.
And I think we want to make the public understand that this elastomeric coating for roof is designed to, A, seal your roof. So if you have any surface cracks or shingles
nail
beside
holes.
Your, or nail
holes,
uh-huh. it's going to absolutely seal that.
Correct.
Along with reducing the surface temperature
Correct.
Of your shingles.
It's not a regular
cool.
house's paint.
It is not house
this
paint.
This is a paint that is designed to cool
your house.
And it's generally in a white color
yes.
so that it will reflect the
light
heat.
Light rather than
Correct.
Absorbing. And
right.
this is another unknown
Correct.
Fact.
Right.
Persons don't recognize that the color of your shingles have a reflective quality.
Mm-hmm.
A darker shingle attracts and retains
and
more heat.
Because shingles are made out of fossil
oh
fuels, it's asphalt, which
it's
is tar.
Hot.
It's hot. So, you know, it will help to deter that until you decide to do another type of
yeah,
roofing.
Yeah.
You know what else we did back in the 80s? Everybody wanted to build like they lived in the United States, right? Big overhangs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what a hurricane does when they come to a country
Hurricanes
like us?
Hurricanes love
big,
large overhangs.
Big overhangs, they go, oh, look
yeah.
at this one. I'm going to get this
yeah.
one. Because people don't realize that the large overhang
increases
and
the surface area for hurricanes to
hurricanes,
pick them up.
It's an uplift factor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a downlift factor.
Nope.
And as the longer the, and the more times it
it's
hits,
pulling on it.
It'll pull on it.
Yeah.
So those that's the reason sometimes the roof will come off if you don't have hurricane clips on
mm-hmm.
or if you
and properly installed.
And you properly installed and your bolts and that type of
yeah.
thing. So those are things you really have to watch out for. So if you do build, it's better to actually build with less of an overhang, and that way the water runs off of your roof faster as well.
And
gutter
and
systems.
Let's talk about this rule conversation if you're meeting with your architect
mm-hmm.
and you talk about where you live and
mm-hmm.
they find out, you know, how does this area fare during hurricanes on a wide overhang? You can have that conversation. And listen, are you aware that during the last storm, everyone in the house on my street, you know, lost part of the roof or some of the roof, or almost all the roof. Is it wise for us to have this wide overhang? Can we reduce this to a 12-inch overhang or even less?
But is the homeowner? Yes. No. That's the thing. That's why we need to actually bridge these gaps.
Yeah.
So
they won't know what that is.
No. So, again, I wouldn't even know. I don't even know if my best friend Google would be able to answer that question. Do you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we really need to think about why do we build things in a particular way? When in the old days, they didn't. Like all the houses, Harbor Island, Hopetown, that kind of thing, you're going to see wooden gutters
mm-hmm.
around the edges of it.
Collect that water.
A high-pitched roof
mm-hmm.
so that the water runs off quickly.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that they did then
yeah.
that we should have continued to do. But everybody wants a 412 pitch because it's cheaper.
It's cheaper, and we started to be incredibly influenced during the 80s, going into the 90s, about South Florida design.
Correct.
Which showed more of the ranch-style homes, low-profile,
right.
wide overhangs.
Right.
It was the thing in the 80s
right.
and 90s about how Florida homes look.
Right.
So I think homes then evolved is based on the persons at the time who saw that, was able to travel enough, and then follow that. But it may not have been the basin of hurricanes, and we have to consider us rather than what you see a neighbor to the north.
Right.
So now we've already addressed the impact windows. I want to talk, let's go back to the doors. The doors are most likely not going to get an impact-resistant glazed front door. But
well,
you could.
Only because, well, you
could,
you have to sign a disclaimer because doors should open out.
Generally should open out.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the reason that they don't want to do that is because most people want a door to open in.
Yeah.
But a door opening in, obviously, like a regular door mm-hmm. in a hurricane, if you have your front door, which, and then, you know, you didn't, the arc door, with your front
door
mm-hmm. the back door might open up
mm-hmm.
outward, but the other one will open in. If that door goes in, that blows in and your roof pops off.
Yeah.
So these are things that nobody thinks
yeah.
of because they're not builders, and there's who's gonna answer except for they could contact
they
us
could contact
and listen
and,
to
and
the
and
things that we
stuff.
Talk about, right?
What could you then in retrofitting, okay, so I do have a house
mm-hmm.
and I do have a door that opens
mm-hmm.
in. I could simply call a contractor
mm-hmm.
and have my door reverse. Helped tremendously.
So let's explain to people what the difference is. All right. So a door that opens in mm-hmm. means that the only thing that's stopping that door from blowing in is the tongue on the lock. Because that tongue, which is only 3/4 of an inch long, mm-hmm. sticks into the frame of the door and the wind will blow that in. Mm-hmm. And a door that, right. Mm-hmm. So a door that opens out. First of all, you have the door go down past your floor.
So it stops against the floor.
So it bucks against the concrete. There's nothing going to blow mm-hmm. that in. Then you also have your door stops, and you've got your door trims, and you've got your lock. So you've got many ways
protection.
To make sure that door doesn't blow in. And it's also harder for people to
break into
it.
Your home as well.
The first thing people are going to say is, oh, but then what about the hinges? People are going to be able to break in because they can steal my door. No, you can buy hinges where the pin doesn't come out. And you can also buy them where you take the screw out and you put the pin in that. Or you can buy the ones from a local company here that actually has them with the part. The pin's already molded into,
on. Yeah, it's security hardware where you can't take it off.
Into the stainless steel hinge.
So in short, there are measures that any homeowner can take that can fortify the entrance against burglary or against hurricane.
Right.
So now we address your windows, we have a door, we address your roof line. I want to let's go in the roof line a little bit. We talked about the length of the eave. Let's talk about and this is something personal for me. I do not subscribe to events. I don't like them.
Because I don't use them. Well, if you do isolating, you can't use them.
Exactly. And this is why I always use isolating. Because if you have events, what you're doing, while on a normal situation, you're allowing a nice breeze to get into your house, during a hurricane, you're allowing that strong breeze to get up into your roof and create an inside your home itself, a vacuum trying to push your roof out from inside the roof.
Well, also, have a vent, right, hot air goes up.
It goes into the vents as well.
So if there's no wind, you're going to get hot air going up into your roof. And what does that do with air conditioned? Again, it's another reason that you're going to get
mold. Which AC hardened.
And
it causes all the condensation, and condensation causes mold. So that's another way. So if you're building a home, and if you understand what the vents do, there's no real benefit. I often say in 2024, there's no real benefit having events.
Because back in the day, when everybody did that, hardly anybody had air conditioning. Now you have air conditioning.
That was 50 years ago.
You need to keep a nice
sealed envelope.
Thank you.
Yes, it's about a sealed envelope.
Because you want to keep the cool in and the heat out. Right.
If you have I find it interesting. You have persons who design homes today. I don't like to hit on the designers, but you're designing a home in 2024, which you know on your plans, how's air conditioning, and you got e-vents. Like, it doesn't make sense to have those two in the same
drawing
plan.
And even if the plan isn't drawn with air conditioning, because maybe the person doing it, having it done, that isn't paying for the extra service of having the mechanical, electrical and all that stuff done, right? But, I've lost my train of thought. The vents.
Yeah, the e-vents.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the e-vents. Again, if you find that you've noticed on your drawings that you have air conditioning scheduled and events, you simply have to just two things. Tell the contractor, listen, I'm going to isolate in this my attic space anyhow, so I don't need events. Or you tell your architect, listen, I noticed that you have events on there. I will not install events because I'm going to air condition this home because I know it's not a part of your scope, but I'm going to air condition this home. And
that's
what
I was
going to
say. They may start doing a split system in each room, one at a time, as they can afford it.
Of course.
So you don't need them because you are going to air condition even if the architect hasn't put it on the drawing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've addressed exterior. We've addressed your doors and windows. Mm-hmm. We've addressed the front door. We've addressed e-vents. Mm-hmm. We've addressed the roof. Mm-hmm. Let's look at your yard now. Mm. Now, you live in the east. I live in the west. My property is a little less mature as your property. You got large fruit-bearing trees near the home. Mm-hmm. Some of it, you love it, been there for 30 years, overhanging your home. Right. What are you looking at in terms of risk aspect? If you assess this home for hurricane season, you're there and you're looking at all these beautiful trees just enveloping this. I know you love the trees, Debbie, but you got to be mindful. The trees could cause significant damage if they fall on your home.
Well, for my particular house, I have one very large tree, but when a hurricane comes, the branches break off super easy.
Mm.
So it's okay.
Okay.
It's not one of those trees where the whole tree is going to fall. How do I know that? Because the tree's been there for 38 years, right?
Okay.
Again, most people don't really, or should not, I should say, you should not plant a tree too close to the foundation of the house because the roots can affect that, right? So most people actually plant the fruit trees further away from the house. But for somebody who has not done that, you've got to be very, very, very careful. Because you want to make sure that anything you plant that is close to your house, like let's say a coconut tree. A coconut tree, as you know, unless there's a tornado which will snap it off, it's going to fall on your house.
It's going to fall on your house.
Yeah.
And you can determine the direction it'll fall.
Right.
It's a hit or miss.
It depends on which way the storm's
it
coming from.
It depends on which way
and
the storm is
storm,
falling.
Hurricanes are going in a circle.
Exactly. So yeah. More likely. So you have to, again, these, I think what persons need to do is do a personal assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Do an assessment of your house before every hurricane season. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, do an assessment of your yard before every hurricane season.
Right. Can I go back to windows? Because I did forget about something.
Generally,
when somebody says to me that they can't afford to replace their windows,
yeah.
I go, then what you do is you buy Bahama shutters. I love Bahama shutters.
We used to do that 30 years ago as well.
Yes. They're
beautifully architectural.
They're beautiful.
And they give absolute protection during a hurricane.
And yes. And even if you have like an awning window, you can still open your window 2 or 3 inches.
Yep.
And have breeze going through your house, which stops the fact that your roof could blow off.
So let's get
mm-hmm.
into this a little bit and talk about the Bahama shutter.
Okay.
But we'll do that on the other side of the break. And before we go to break, we'd just like to note our sponsors, which is CBS Pro Store, Art Development, Arm Caribbean, M&E Equipment, and that's it. I'll see you after the break.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
But a sick this morning, crack, and they just build this house. Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack because I rot in steel.
I guarantee fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and lead. And then over time, you start to rotten. And just like a flower wall crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Or visit our Facebook and IG page at Art Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and a crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and energy limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Well, we are back, and we would like you to be able to call in or text us your questions or your issues. The only way we can help you is if we know what your situation is. So we are streaming live, audio and video, on guardiantalkradio.com. You can also listen on TV on Cable Bahamas channel 969 or BTC Flow channel 612. You can download the Guardian Radio app for your from your Apple or Android smart devices, or listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You could text us on the Guardian Radio text lines 422-4796, powered by BTC and standard text rate supply, or you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Now, I know you're listening because Leonard and I are always getting messages after the show from persons that said, oh, yes, this happened, or how can I have this? When can you come see me? That kind of thing. Call. We want other people to hear also what you're going through so we could actually fix it, solve these problems, or give you advice of things that you might not have known. If you're not, I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you how to make you feel better, but we certainly can help you on how to make your building safer and more hurricane resistant.
Absolutely. So, Debbie, I want to go back to part of a conversation I had today about the proposed improvement or review and amendments to the Bahamas Building Code. I know we spoke about the building code in brief in our one of the first shows, and we talked a lot about that. But I think it's important now for us to allow, let's dig into what the general public may not know about the Bahamas Building Code. Firstly, the Bahamas Building Code is a structural code. It is designed to produce for the public a safe building fit for habitation. That's the first thing that the public needs to understand. And notwithstanding that Hurricane Dorian did significant damage to homes in Grand Bahama and Abaco, but it was above and beyond the contemplation, I believe, of the persons who would have been residents in those communities, the environmental considerations at the time when the code was produced, and the nature of the storm impacted homes in a way that I believe, even if I was intending to build my home and I knew I was up to deal with 10-foot waves, I could still build my home the same way, but different considerations.
Some of those homes that I went to see right after the hurricane happened, they're made, you know, concrete floor, but the walls were plywood and tar paper.
Well,
I mean, that is not going to keep out water. It's not even going to keep out wind. And
no.
Most of those houses were gone.
Yeah, and some houses I went
and
saw.
And it might be a part of our building code, but is it what you're going to need for a hurricane? And we can't now just say, well, it's only going to happen every once in a while.
No.
We are looking at how many we've had this year. And everybody was just, you know, biting their nails of the last 3 or 4 days with Milton.
But I think part of the conversation that we need to begin to have is that, you know, building a home is like shopping for a car.
Mm-hmm.
Because I cannot afford a Mercedes-Benz doesn't mean I can't buy a car.
Correct.
So there are timber structures on Abaco that survived the hurricane.
Harbor Island as well, 1797.
Okay, many, many
Royalist
structures.
Cottage.
So it's not necessarily the material except for the building method and the system used. And you could achieve, and I often say, you could achieve any degree of desired result once you know what it is you're designing for and or against. I find that when you have persons not understanding what the dangers can be when you go out there and manipulate the building code, you could suffer a diverse set of challenges. Now, for example, I've noticed, and I will reach out again to the BCO, that on New Providence Highway, I'm calling the street on New Providence Highway after the six-legged roundabout, you're going to see four structures in a new subdivision that is being built and erected, have the roof on, that does not have a reinforced bell cross. I know that you
four
spoke.
Columns. And on
all
Prince,
columns.
Prince Charles as well. There's two
and on Prince Charles. And I know you reached out to the BCO and what he's told you. is
he,
that
he told me that they approved it, and I asked him if we could get a copy.
A deviation to the typical building.
Right, and I asked if I could get a copy of it yet, and he said not yet because the electrical hasn't been, you know, they're still having issues getting the electrical part sorted out so they can go to cabinet with one. But I said, could I get a copy of what they are actually using on site? Because they have to be using something.
Right.
And I haven't been able to get an answer from that.
And what is important about that, about asking for the copy of what they're using, is because
they have to use something.
Here's what the fear I have as president of the Heyman Contracts Association. Someone will look at what is happening, do not understand how it came out of the ground, the system in which they're using, the method in which they're using, copy it without the elements that had made that system approved by the Ministry of Works, and duplicate it incorrectly. And then someone loses their home, someone loses their roof, have unforeseen damages. So I think we have to be very careful when we derogate from a building code and allow, and we're not saying there's nothing wrong with a new system, but you have to make sure that there is enough public awareness so that copycat persons out there who contractors who copy it understand what it is they're copying.
There's no reason that a billboard couldn't go up and say, you know, changes are being made. Contact blah, blah, blah at building control, the Ministry of Works, and get a copy of the new.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because from the building code, let me read into what I believe happened. So let me give the public an idea of what I believe happened. For that structure to maintain the same structural value as the typical residential structure, which is a concrete floor slab, 8-inch concrete blocks, columns, and a tie beam, anchor bolts, a roof plate, and roof trusses, and roof tie-down, that's a complete structural tie-down system. The structure that we're talking about has
no columns.
It has no columns, no beams. So I assume, and I have to go on assumption to maintain the structural integrity, that they have a continuous reinforcement from out of the foundation, through the slab, through the blockwork, to the bell course, in the vertical direction, every, let's say, 18 inches at the maximum. I will then assume the top course is a running bond course, or what we call a bell course block. And even at that course, it should then have a horizontal, at least one or two. I assume if it's 8 inches, it's going to be hard to get two, because you got the block thickness is about an inch and a quarter, an inch and a quarter. You now have less than 5 inches as a cavity. But let's say you get 2 inches in the bond beam. It doesn't totally replace a 5x9 with 12 inches concrete, but let's say you even accept that. But if they're all tied together and then grout filled with the J-hooks in it to receive the roof plate, it then replaces the same system. However, the critical thing about that, there must be continuous reinforcement from foundation through belts. If you interrupt that,
it has to be more expensive to build because you've got to pour all those block holes.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
The argument that I've heard from persons who build similar, but on larger scales, say the time I take to procure my plywood, have a forming carpenter form it, set it, frame it, pour it, strip it, I'm saving it just having my block masons run my course of blocks and my pump truck just grout fill on my block. So that's the argument. But I want to express in public, the structural integrity of the system must be maintained from foundation through belt in the system, or else you're not going to have a structural envelope that, like Debbie said before, uplift is your biggest concern in a hurricane. It's not a tornado we have in the Bahamas. We have hurricanes. Hurricanes uproot things. So you need your roof to stay tied down to what it's attached to. In this case, it's attached to your walls, which is now blockwork, grout filled. And that's a good system if the structural reinforcement is continuous. Right. Now, our good friends of art development would love to talk more about it. And I'm quite sure if you, Mr. Lightburn, is on the show, he'll tell you about all the great ways that you could save on your reinforced fiber, fiber rebar.
And cracking.
Cracking and all that great stuff.
Yes.
But I think that the system that we are witnessing, and we're only witnessing it.
And we assume, it's a single story building.
And we assume a single story because, again, the system changes now if you're talking with multiple stories.
Right, because you need to, the bar joists have to have something solid to sit on.
Yeah.
Right.
So, again, I'm urging homeowners who are seeing these things go up. If you have questions, contact the Ministry of Public Works. Reach out to the Bayman Contractors Association. Mm-hmm. Reach out to your architects. Get an understanding on it. Because one of the things that Debbie said, and I fault the Ministry of Public Works, while they're doing a good job, I will say this, in social media, they're doing a good job of letting persons know some of the things they're doing. But you've now started building homes. You started building homes where it does not look like what we were doing for a very long period of time.
And even we didn't know about it. We weren't contacted with regard to it at all.
So, again, people will copy it for fear that they copy the wrong thing. Start an education campaign.
Yes.
Get some information out there. Send us the information. We could distribute it.
Yes.
But we do not want persons who are novice out there parading around that they understand the system.
Right.
And try to duplicate something, which is totally just not the way it was designed, and offering a product to the public that does not meet the specifications.
Right, because we get enough calls from clients that are being taken advantage of, their houses are being built poorly, absolutely
all
wrong,
day.
And they have no repercussion, and we don't need one other thing, which is a structural thing that will save your roof. We don't want something else to happen and jeopardize more persons.
You know, while we're talking with it, one of the questions I have, Debbie, is that, you know, you're replacing, which in theory, let's start theory with structures now, you're replacing just the bell course, which is at the top of your block work, right? And none of your blocks had to been filled. It doesn't have to be, but it's at either a 5x9, so you either end up with an 8x12 belt beam or 8x16, right?
But where the steel is, you'd pour those.
Of course, where the steels are, you pour those, right? Mm-hmm. But you had a nice, decent-sized belt beam that ties your roof down.
Yeah.
In theory, though, and this is why I say the application has to be ensured that it's done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You're now, in this case now, you're increasing your 12 inches of reinforced concrete with, if your home is 10 foot tall, 10 foot. So it's acting like your roof is now tied onto a continuous 10-foot beam. In theory, if the reinforcement is continuous and the anchors are set deep enough into that bond beam, because what if now you only got a cavity that's 5 inches and you just stick the J-bolt inside and you only get 2 inches of cover?
Because I know even after you go a certain height, you actually are supposed to add a separate beam or, you know, a lintel in there to make sure that you have adequate support. Because like 10 feet of blocks is a lot.
yeah. But it does allow for that if you're going to pour the whole thing.
Yes.
If you're not going to pour it, then you have a challenge.
Right.
But so I'm just speaking to the fact that the system that we see being used, we're not saying that it isn't a system that can be used. Mm-hmm. We're saying that you need to make sure that you share the information about how the system properly works.
Right.
Because you're going to have a lot of persons just look at it and copy it and not understand the structural element.
We don't physically have a copy of what it is.
No.
So, I mean, if we don't have it, the average person wouldn't have it.
I'm going to do my house like that with old columns and belts. And they don't even understand that all the block cells are filled and there's rebar in every 18 inches. They don't know that. I can tell you the public doesn't know that because they didn't watch it go up.
Right, because I've had people call me and say, I saw this and what are they doing? That's just crazy. And then, you know, then you have to try to call to find out what's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I get it.
So we see that, you know, there are different ways to go about building a home. There's ways to make your home more intact for hurricanes. I want to talk a little bit more now about, you know, you're in a flood zone. Okay, Debbie, you can't do anything about it. Your street floods, your yard floods. What can you do?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, you have to make sure that your windows... You don't have any long windows that go to the ground, right? Or to, like, you know, 2 feet from the ground.
Like they do.
Right. So you want to make sure that your windows are at least like 4 or 5 feet up, right? Unless you're going to change your roof. Like if you had to change your roof, then you could actually build higher, another belt on top and raise your floor up and do that. But that means all your electrical plumbing
is
a big expense, right?
It is.
Right. So you could... when you have your doors, you know, most people would just put sandbags, right?
Which I don't know. How successful that is, personally.
So I designed this thing. It's a slotted system. You can buy them at like Nassau Glass or something. It's an aluminum frame that looks like a letter E, and you do a U-shaped frame with that, and you put either aluminum in it, and it's like a 3/8 inch aluminum or PVC. Or a solid ply, but you slide that in front of your door. Yes, and you go high enough, like a baby's gate, so that everybody can climb over. Because we've all climbed over baby gates, and that stops the water from getting in up to that height, right? Anything over that, it will not do. But at least you don't have to have the sandbags. You just leave those frames on every day, and you just slide in that piece when a storm is coming.
And to me, that's just a
quick way of doing it, but it works.
And to that point, I don't know if you saw it on Instagram and TikTok or whatever, but you know, inside, where was the hurricane last? It's like Carolina. In Carolina, they had a hospital where everything around it was flooded, except inside this hospital's perimeter. Because they put up this hurricane barrier, water barrier around it. It kept the place absolutely dry. So We're also suggesting that, let's say you live in an area which is prone to flooding. You're in Pinewood. It's going to flood, right? You can source these barriers, which you could just put around your home.
Okay.
And it would literally keep your home site dry. And your neighbors could have water in it and everything around you. So it's kept out the entire... Outside of the barrier, there was 5.5 foot of water.
Is it like a concrete barrier?
No, plastic.
Oh.
But it interlocks and creates a water seal tight.
So it looks barrier. Like a fence.
It looks like a fence, but it has a dimension to it, and it's slanted on both sides, so it can't tip over. Totally kept the water on the opposite side of it.
I would do that.
It's practical and makes a lot of sense. So, you know, just speaking about some of the options that you could do in the event of a hurricane, and you're in a zone which floods, you're in a place where it always gets water.
Send me a picture of that.
Yeah, I can send it to you. I'll forward it to you. It'd keep the water out.
Oh, gosh, because I have to see a lady this weekend. She called me about her place flooding, and I told her I would come to take a look.
No, you could do that, or you could look into a deep well. Now, those are very, very
costly.
That's
very expensive.
Yeah,
so you're looking at 10 grand.
You're looking at least 10 grand. So we got a lot of things to talk about, and we'll get back to it after this break.
Y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
Don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing that break up wall. FIB's the new steel in town. No salty air will ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FIB's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to rust forever.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Good afternoon, welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. And before the break, we were about to talk about, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the PVC.
The PVC barrier.
The barrier that everybody is sending us messages. They want a picture of it. Yeah, I'm trying to find it because,
well, yeah, there it is. Yeah, Florida Heights Hospital. Florida Heights Hospital.
All right.
Yeah, after the hurricane.
Contact the Contractors Association, and hopefully Leonard could send you this.
Yeah. So there are mitigation tools that could be employed. Yeah. But at the same time, we were talking about this off air. Mm-hmm. What happens though, Debbie, if you just build your home just in a place where floods horrendously? What do you do? You're built in a bowl. What do you do? You built in a bowl.
I don't even want to think about that. Honestly, you really have to. You just have to protect all of your openings.
Yeah,
that's the major thing. And then, of course, it's only going to work on a certain amount of flooding that can happen. You know, because if we were to get one of those floods, one of those storm surges, like they said, 12 to 14 feet, mm-hmm. it would not help with that.
No.
You know, you'd have to be a two-story building, and you'd have to, you know, be able to make sure that the downstairs is totally secured so that you could stay upstairs. And then again, you never know.
You never know.
You don't want to get stuck in a building either.
But let's talk about, you know, some of the things that I saw post-hurricanes, and not calling any hurricane, but post-hurricanes. And you see them, whether it's on the internet, you see them on, you drive on certain islands and you see it. There was a time, I think we need to start and begin to revisit, where you would see houses extremely elevated, mm-hmm. especially along the shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to Hopetown, I can go to Maunawaki, I could go to mm-hmm.
South Andrews,
and I can
tall
see
columns.
Mm-hmm. tall concrete columns, and then your home starts, especially if they're near the coast or on the beach. Beautiful.
Right.
And we think they're silly when we think about it, because you need about 20 steps just to get up to the main living area, because I've been inside one of them. Mm-hmm. Great views.
Right.
But also practically, mm-hmm. if that storm surge comes up to 10 feet, the floor levels
right.
are
so
like
11. So for new construction, that's great. For a retrofitting, it would be a little bit more difficult.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a great idea.
But that was the practical mm-hmm. advantage of it.
Because
they understood it could happen.
Because the ground floor ends up being storage, and maybe your laundry room or where your water heater is kept or
something.
Things like that. It's
but
always
they didn't
utilized.
Have a lot of usage under there.
Right.
Because they appreciated that.
Right.
In a very large
right.
surge.
Patio, place where you could sit.
Patio
nice
store, and
plants.
They keep their equipment
yep.
under there. But mm-hmm. they understood that if this comes up 10 feet, my living space is at 11.
Right.
Now, again, that's not practical everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you need to consider different design options for where you live. If you're living on you know, like you're in the east. If you're living on the eastern foreshore and you're on the water, you can't build your house the same way as you're living inland on the eastern road.
Right. Well,
those are two different conditions.
I'm 40 feet above sea level. I'm at the top of the.
Your design of your home is going to be totally different than your neighbor's who's
yes.
on the beach
yes.
on Eastern Road.
Yes.
Any kind of surge, water's coming in the yard.
Yes, I just go blind thinking about it.
So, and these are the kind of conversations I think we got to begin to have mm-hmm. with design professionals. Okay, they got to look at where do you live and what kind of climatic conditions affect your home size.
And how can we do it for the average person?
Yeah.
Not for the person that has a huge budget or could go to the bank and get a huge budget to do it. These are the things that we have to try to think about maybe over the next couple of months, we could come up with some more ideas and have another show on hurricane prevention and things like that.
And I think that's a great idea,
yeah,
Debbie.
I think so.
One of the constraints, though, Debbie, is you involved the banks and you talk with the budget. I don't know if the lending institutions appreciate that climate change is costing the homeowner to consider more in the building of the home, which means that their budget has to go up a little bit more, which means you got to give them a little bit more money.
Their insurance has to go up considerably because you can't just insure it. You have to insure it for a hurricane, I'm assuming, because the bank is the...
They lost the E.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we were talking with this off air, too. I mean, now you're telling me that insurance companies are just putting the papers the other day, not insuring for the full value of your homes.
Well, they're not going to give you the full value based on a hurricane. They will only give you partial. Because they say that because of globally and all of these other insurance, like hurricanes and all that kind of stuff.
They're taking those losses and hits.
So, too many losses that they just can't do everything that they need to do.
So you're telling me if I have a home that's, you know, valued at $650,000, catastrophic damage happens, the whole thing is wiped away, I'm going to get $500,000. I'm short $150,000.
But if you have a house like that, we talked about this off air too. So what would you lose? You'd lose your roof.
Maybe.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? Might have some windows that blow in.
Yeah.
Water damage, which would mean you'd have to replace your baseboards, your doors, your electrical work, that kind of stuff.
Depending on how high the water damage comes
up. But you wouldn't really
lose the whole house.
No, you'd never lose the whole house. So, I mean, you have to,
when we say we lose the roof, we really mean part of the roof.
It's, right,
shingles. You're not going to have the whole roof come off if it costs $600,000
to figure it out. If you haven't put hurricane clips on, but we all do hurricane clips, two on each rafter. So, so I think maybe.
The loss is minimal.
I think that's.
Or the loss is not going to be in so much of value that it would need the whole $650,000 of coverage.
And that's probably where they're coming from.
I think so, too.
Yes, because when they have to go to do the assessment of the damage, they know what they're seeing on a regular basis that's consistent and what is odd, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that is for cases mostly in New Providence. Now, I went to Abaco, unfortunately, 2 years after Dorian, and there's a nice spot where you go to the dock to go over to Manawaki and all that hometown. Mm-hmm. The houses on the ridge no longer exist. So that's total reconstruction costs.
Right.
You would hope that if they had insurance, that you're going to pay out that individual the whole cost of the coverage, not a portion of it, because the portion of the house is not there. The whole house
I would suggest that everybody contact their insurer and find out what is really happening and what are they really insured for and what would they actually get if their entire
if
house
the other,
is,
yes. Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't, again, we talked about contracts the other day and people do not ask all the information
on their contract.
On anything.
People don't even understand their contract.
No, and they don't ask the right information. Right. And then after a storm, they go, but I thought I was insured for this. Well, you didn't do that, right?
Yeah.
Or we don't insure for flood.
Yeah.
We don't insure for hurricane.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things that they don't insure for. We have to be diligent when we sign a contract for anything.
For
I don't
anything.
Care what it's for.
Yeah.
You have to know all the facts.
Like, for example, and we're talking with contracts, especially with home insurance. If you have an insurance and you do not list the contents in there, and you may have $200,000 worth of very nice, expensive furniture, Debbie, you got to list your contents.
Right. Or you could, if you didn't want to insure your house, you could insure just your contents.
Just the contents.
Right.
You have to, like you said, you have to look at what it is that you think you want to replace if something really terrible happens. What happens if there's a fire? You're going to have all your furniture gone.
Yeah.
But did you insure your furniture or you just insured the house?
Mm. What about artwork?
Read.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Imagine you got Van Gogh on the wall and you didn't insure. I told you your house, Debbie. I don't have a Van Gogh. You didn't insure that? Or you got some diamond necklace passed down from five generations?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just being very practical about some of the things that the common person, the average person, just don't think about when they get their insurance coverage.
You know, to be perfectly honest, before I started building and stuff, I was always intimidated at a bank. I was always intimidated with an insurance person because I didn't know enough, right? And you're expecting the person you're talking to be able to educate you and talk to you in a fashion that you understand what's going on. But you still don't know what questions to ask because they're only going to tell you what they want to tell you.
And they're only going to tell you what's pertinent to the contract they want you to sign right now, and then they're moving on to something else.
Right. You know, so these are things that I think is very, very important. Do not sign a contract until you've read it.
And understood it.
And if you don't, go to somebody that you know who does. If you have a friend that might be an accountant or an insurance business or any of those things, get somebody else to read it for you and say, oh, this is missing, that is missing. Right? Yeah. That's very important.
And
don't be afraid to do it.
Yeah.
This is your life. This is your livelihood. This is your home. This is your business. You have to protect everything, your family.
Yeah, one of the areas inside construction that I find that persons don't pay enough attention to is now you have your home, you're protecting it, you're trying to do your best, but again, we've talked about a lot of that'd be maintenance. You got to maintain your home because if you start to see that there's rotting and there's challenges at your roof line, you don't appreciate the fact that rotted plywood gives an exposed area into your house. Wind gets in there, and that starts where you could lose some part of your roof because you didn't maintain it.
Right.
You got a part of the fascia board that's blown away and been blown away for the last 4 years.
Oh, yeah. There goes the roof.
Now you got an opening in your roof. You have to pretend like this is an envelope, and any kink in that envelope, you need to close it up. That's routine. Look around your home.
Right.
See what needs to be repaired.
I think what needs to be done is persons need to be a little bit more educated when they are going to the bank to get funding to build a home. Because it's not just building the home. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that you have, like you said, because we can look around this country and see that we are not good at doing maintenance, right? You need to have a budget to actually do maintenance
on your
home. Even if that money is money that you borrow that is set aside, that the bank could put on fixed for you that you could actually use in 2 or 3 or 5 years' time when you need to start doing things, right?
Yeah.
Because if you don't, what's going to happen? Just like you said, your roof is going to blow off. Mm-hmm. You know, your windows are going to blow out. Mm-hmm. You're going to have your doors are going to be faulty. I mean, how many people buy a nice wooden door as a front door and then it gets rained on and the bottom of it falls off? Right? So, I mean, we have to be more careful of these are the kind of things that in a hurricane – what are you going to do? You're going to run around and replace that door before the hurricane?
No.
And you don't want the hurricane to blow on that door and blow out the other door and have your roof pop off. So these are, it's very important.
It's key.
And nobody talks about it.
And so we're talking about it.
Thank you.
But that's where the routine, just simple things that you can do as a homeowner to help safeguard your primary asset, the thing that ensures that your family has a safe place to stay and you retain value in this for a long period of time. Because another thing you have to consider, too, is the wear and tear in your building. I mean, you can't have the same value. It should appreciate, but if you don't maintain your home, it depreciates. And then what is the point of paying this mortgage for 30 years or 25 years? And at the end of the day, the home has very little resale value because you fail to maintain it properly.
And if you have a good relationship with your contractor, you could always have your contractor come back to check these things and do these things for you, right?
But if you keep the outside out and the inside in, you generally are well on your way to having a home that lasts a very long time.
Correct.
And then finally, if we want to look at this whole segment on hurricane preparedness, protections, and we talked a little bit in the last segment about storage. You got to have adequate storage in your home for dry goods so you're not going out there for the hurricane and shopping like you're mad. Mm-hmm. You have a pantry that you have, you know, at least a month's supply of dry goods, some rice, some grits, some tuna, stuff that doesn't need to be cooked.
But, you know, in a kitchen, a lot of cabinets go to about maybe 12 or 14 inches from the ceiling, right? Why don't we start not putting the crown molding on there and building the same kitchen cabinets but higher
all the way to
and have the crown molding go around that and store the things that you're not going to use on a regular basis in those areas rather than just putting decorative things on top of the cabinets and wiping off the dust every 6 months if you're lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know? But yes,
this is where we really thought that this show would have been helpful for a lot of persons in there who think about it, may know a bit about it and heard some things, and we'd hope that this show clarified some things about the home building progress and give our listeners insights and tips into what they can do to make their home better and make your house hurricane safe.
And feel free to contact us.
Absolutely. And the numbers you could always reach us for the BCA is 356-8850. That is 356-8850. Or email us at bca@behamancontractors.com. So once again, this has been another segment of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. I'm Leonard Sands.
And I'm Deborah Dale.
And thank you for joining us. Yeah.